Everybody, welcome to episode 338 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75-plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. At Legacy Realty of Iowa, it's not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, well, my guest tonight was the longtime head coach of the Ankeny Centennial boys basketball team. He retired at the end of last year after guiding the Jaguars to a 173-101 mark across 12 seasons. He coached a total of 34 seasons overall, amassing 474 wins and taking five of his teams to the state tournament. On Friday night, he'll be one of six new inductees into the Iowa High School Athletic Association Basketball Hall of Fame. He is Bob Fontana. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Thanks, Dan. I'm doing good. Tournament weeks, it's fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, congratulations on a well-deserved honor. I wanted to have you on to break down some of the highlights of your career and to discuss your Hall of Fame induction. But before we get into that, you mentioned the state tournament that's going on right now at the Casey Center, and I wanted to get your thoughts on that. We had two quarterfinal games last night and two more this morning, and I was able to catch most of them online. The higher seeds, Dallin Catholic and Cedar Falls, cruised to some easy wins last night. But then we had two really competitive games this morning. The big surprise was Johnston knocking off number three Waukee Northwest, and then number two Waukee had to battle to the wire to hold off Cedar Rapids Prairie. You know, you obviously know all those CIML teams really well. You know, what did you think of Johnston's upset?
Well, you know, it state tournament time, anything can happen. And I wasn't at the game. I was surprised when I heard what the outcome was. It sounds like Johnson controlled the tempo, you know, and holding Northwest to 42 points. That's quite a feat. So I'm sure Coach Henderson, you know, I don't know what schemes he ran. I didn't see the game. So, but whatever he did obviously worked, because I saw Rice had 17, and then I think Davis just had 8. And I don't know if they had anybody else in double figures.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, they really had the big guys frustrated. They missed a lot of bunnies inside, but they just were all over them. When they get the ball, they either slap it away or just force a turnover or something. Pretty impressed with what Johnston was able to do.
Well, the other thing too, the kid, the sophomore Kukin, who had, I believe he had 26 against Ankeny. Mm-hmm. He, I don't know if he scored, or maybe if he did, he had 1 point was all.
Yeah, he definitely wasn't a big factor. Well, that was my first extensive look at the Cedar Falls last night, and I was really impressed with them. They're just so sound fundamentally, and they pretty much, you know, dismantled a pretty good Urbandale squad. You know, I can see why they're undefeated. Do you think Dowling, with its two bigs, has the kind of size that can maybe neutralize some of Cedar Falls' strengths?
I do, and, you know, I was at that game, and, you know, Cedar Falls, they defensively, they always had one of their bigs in a position right when an Urbandale kid beat somebody going to rim. Here was, you know, 6'8", 6'9", and I don't know how many block shots CF had, but and they, whether it was a block shot, turnover, defensive rebound, I thought they were very impressive in transition. And then they were, when you get the Kimbrough kid hitting threes, and then that sophomore Gary hit three or four big shots, and, you know, it's very tough to, you got to pick your poison. And if they continue to play like that, that's going to be a tough out for the next two games, whoever they play. I think Dowling, you know, with Coley and Crane, can match up with Wolf and Curtis. You know, Wolf, he doesn't score like he didn't score yesterday. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so whatever scheme Coach Enerson's going to run, is he going to leave a guy in the lane? Like yesterday, he did that at times against
yeah, senior.
Senior,
yeah.
Thank you. He had Crane stay in the lane. I think he had three blocks in the first 2 minutes of the game. And I think Dowling's guards, I wouldn't say they're over-athletic, but I think they're physical. And I could, you know, I think their physicality could, you know, hold Cedar Falls guards at bay, possibly. I think a big thing is going to be the turnover game, and then who's going to win the transition game, too.
Yeah, Martin's had a really good game yesterday. He may not be their best player, but he might be their most important player.
Oh, I agree with you. And he's, you know, he might not have scored it this year as consistently as he did like the last half of last year. But I think that when, you know, when they needed to score, like he did yesterday. I think he had 18, and he did a great job of pushing the ball in transition too yesterday. So again, I think that transition game and then the turnover battle, and then also you got to worry about the fouls and free throws down there.
Well, that'll be an interesting matchup. And then in the other semifinal, Johnston will now try to pull off another upset. The Dragons were able to avenge two double-digit losses to Northwest. And even though they also lost to Waukee twice during the regular season, the last one at Waukee was just a two-point contest that came down to the final buzzer. You know, and they're currently riding a 9-game winning streak right now. And, you know, they're not going to be afraid of anybody. Waukee, of course, has won 18 in a row. So how do you see that matchup?
Well, again, paper doesn't win games. Well, on paper, everybody's probably thinking Waukee, you know, will be. But, you know, Waukee, obviously, that's an eye-opener for them, what Johnston did today in Northwest. And that'll add it to, you know, it's tough to beat somebody three times. But I think that when you get down to the semifinals, state tournament, been there before, you know what, you got to throw out what's happened in the past. And, you know, you got to, you know, again, I remember semifinal games where we got in foul trouble and your best players are sitting next to you and it ends up, you lose a free throw differential. Anyway, yeah, so if I was a betting man, I'd take Waukee, but I won't be surprised if Johnson wins.
Cedar Falls had to be at least a slight favorite to win the title coming into the tournament. And with Northwest being knocked out, you know, that certainly eliminates one of the other top contenders. So do you feel like the Tigers now are going to be able to complete this perfect season?
You know what? If they play like they did yesterday, I would say they have a good shot of doing that.
Yeah, for sure.
And even though I'd like to see a CIML team continue the streak of, what is it, 5 or 6 years in a row for Central Iowa? Whether it's Dowling or whether it's Waukee or Johnson, they're going to have bring their A game, obviously.
Well, yeah, Cedar Falls went back-to-back in 18 and 19. That's probably the last time it was a non-CML, I think.
It was, yeah. Right, yeah.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. All right, well, I'm visiting with retired Ankeny Centennial boys basketball coach Bob Fontana, and now I want to get into his career and his Hall of Fame induction. You will be inducted on Friday night during halftime of the Class 1A title game, which begins at 5 p.m., and some of your fellow inductees are names that I certainly recognize, like Marty McCown and Marcus Page. Marcus led Lindmar to a state title as a junior in 2011, and then the Lions returned to state in his senior year. So his entire four-year career at Lindmar would have coincided with your time at Cedar Rapids Kennedy, where you spent 16 years, and you compiled a record of 228 and 136 there to become the winningest coach in school history. So I want to ask you about coaching against Marcus, since he was such a great player. I was telling you off air that I looked it up today, and in his senior year, you guys beat them in early February when you held him to 3 of 16 shooting, which must have been, you know, one of the worst games of his career. But then he came back a few weeks later in the sub-state finally dropped a 49 on you guys in a double overtime win. You know, that must have been quite a game.
You know what? It'd been a great game for the spectators. And now that I'm done, I can say this and probably not get in trouble, but there's two games that stick out in my coaching career that where the officials had a huge impact on the game. And unfortunately, they're postseason games. One of them was that 2012 game against them, the sub-state final. And I told you before, I wish they wouldn't have had social media and pictures and film and all that, but there was about 5 to 6 phantom calls that took place in the fourth quarter in overtime. We had 4 starters foul out, and we got beaten double overtime. And then the other one was in 2020 against Waukee in the state semifinal, when we found out those referees only refed 1 4-A game before the state tournament, and they were out of their element. And we got called for 7 offensive charges, and we lose by 5 and lost the free throw line 21-8. They shot 23 free throws to our 9. So those two games stick out in my mind. And unfortunately, the officials should never have an impact on the game.
Right.
So credit to Marcus Page. You got to make the shots, and he made some big shots. And when you have, and no disrespect to the kids who played off the bench for us that night, but when you don't have your best guys guarding him, you know, in the fourth quarter in the overtime, because they're sitting next to you in foul trouble or they fouled out. That makes it tough. But obviously, he had a phenomenal career. And
did you know back then? Did you think he would go on to do as well as he did at North Carolina?
Yes, I did. I did. I still remember, if you remember this, in the national championship game against Villanova, the crazy shot he made to tie the game up.
Right. Yeah. But nobody remembers it because then they came down and hit the game winner.
Yeah. Right. At the buzzer. Yeah. So, and I saw him over the course of his career, once at Kennedy, make shot after shot like that. And so I can remember going back to when he was a freshman or sophomore. When they had Zach Bohannon and Hutchison and him, they came to our place, and it was the 19th, 20th game of the season, and we were both undefeated, and it was a crazy crowd. They even showed the game on whatever TVs down the hallways at Kennedy, whatever.
Oh wow!
But it was not even close. They had those three D1 guys in the lineup, and we didn't have any D1 guys at all. We had a couple small college players, but they ended up beating us by like 20 points that night. And, you know, I think he was a freshman, and he played lights out. And I knew then, I was like, hey, this guy's really good.
Well, yeah, I know you had some great players at Kennedy as well. You took the Cougars to state three times. Kalen Williams is maybe the best player that you had there. He started his college career at Evansville and went on to become the all-time assist leader at UW-Milwaukee. And I'm sure you have a lot of great memories, you know, of coaching him there as well. You know, is there any games that he played in that kind of stick out?
Oh, definitely. Matter of fact, yesterday I had three of our Ben Lamont, Kalen Williams, and Cheyenne Thomas sat with me the whole time when I was down there yesterday. And then Coach Delger and some of the Centennial staff and some other coaches, Lynn Mark, coaches, Matt. So it was like sort of old home week. But we were talking the battles that we had with Lynn Mark back then. And then you had, you know, with Kalen and Ben, they were 2 years apart. That's the best team I ever coached in the state tournament. Lynn Mark had four D1 players. That year, they had Bohannon, they had Gibbs, they had Prinny, and they had Walker. And Kalen was only a sophomore. And then, you know, Ben went to Iowa State to play football. But we played them the state back then put together the sub-states before the season started. Our sub-state had us, Lynn Martin, Jefferson, who in the final poll, they were ranked eighth in the state.
Wow.
And so we beat Lynn Martin double overtime at their place, 92-89. And Lamont had 29 points and 21 rebounds. And then fast forward, we played each other at the sub-state, and we got beat 75-74. I mean, the games were so identical to each other. And that was the year, the state tournament in 06. The first round was 14, 16, 19, and 26-point margins, and made you sick watching it because you knew you were one of the top three or four teams in the state, and you're sitting at home. But Kalen, that was his sophomore year. His junior and senior year went 22-4 both years. And if I remember, we got third in state both years. We got beat in 07, we got beat by Bettendorf in the semis. And then in 08, we got beat by Davenport Central in the semis.
Of course, you returned to your hometown in 2013 to begin. To begin the Centennial program, I remember you telling me at the time that your family played a big role in that decision. Your folks were getting older, and it was really, perfect opportunity for you to come back home, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And, you know, basketball was obviously part of it. It was about a year and a half before Centennial opened up that I got calls from people. I wanted to know if I'd be interested in coming home. And I know that then Kevin Biggs called me and actually came in. He wanted me to come in for a visit, and I did. And then I met with him, Matt Blackmore, and then I came in for one interview, then second interview. It was really, it wasn't as easy a decision as some people thought it was, because they actually hired me during the middle of the basketball season, but, you know, couldn't say anything until after us and Ankeny were both done. And then I just started coming in on weekends, and our principal, Kennedy, she was so good. She said, you got so many sick days built up. She goes, you can take every Friday, and if you need to, Monday. She goes, because I know you got a lot to get started. And so they set me up in an office at Ankeny, and I was doing both academic stuff and trying to get the basketball program going. But and then my mom had just got diagnosed to start early dementia. So, you know, I got to spend time with her and my dad. So it was more than about basketball.
Sure. Well, yeah, you went on to have some great teams at Centennial. The Jaguars went 24-3 and placed fourth in the Class 4A state tournament in 2020. And that was a team that twice beat the eventual state champs from Ankeny. Cody McCullough was one of the stars of that team. And I think, you know, he just kind of symbolized the toughness and the blue-collar approach that many of your teams, you know, had. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, in that consolation game, I think he had 20 rebounds mm-hmm. against Cedar Falls. But, yeah, you know, he definitely was a warrior, and as a lot of our guys were. And I know Steve Bergman, a good friend of mine, who's Iowa City West Coach, retired last year. It was about the fourth year I was here, and he told me, he said, "Hey, I think you left at the wrong time." And I said, "How's that?" And he goes, "This league's starting to go downhill," and he goes, "Your league's starting to go up, you know, upward swing." And he was right. So, the one thing I've told, you know, people, I said, nobody could ever accuse me of dodging competition, no matter where I've been at, because I feel like I've coached in the two best 4A leagues in the state for 28 of my 34 years.
For sure. Well, yeah, you guys had some memorable games against Ankeny over the years. In recent seasons, we had the matchup of two great point guards between Luke Winkle and Carson Johnson. Both of those guys are now having outstanding careers at the collegiate level. And then back in that 2017-18 season, we had a couple of great games, you know, that featured two other really good guards, Hunter Strait and Drew Mashoff. You guys won a close game at Ankeny early in that season, and then the rematch at Centennial was one of the wilder games, you know, that I've ever seen. I'm sure you remember it. Ankeny came out and just absolutely shot the lights out. They got up by 21. You guys came storming back. Hunter had 32 in that game, I think he even took the lead, and then somehow Ankeny was able to recover and win that one by four. But those are just two great games, weren't they?
They were. You know, sometimes I tell people I wish I didn't have the memory, because when we came back that night, we took the lead, and then we had the ball. I think we're up by one or two, and twice back-to-back possessions we had guys go back door. And we threw the ball away both times. And then Ankeny came down and scored both times. And then we had to foul them. They made a few free throws in that. So, well, then the other one was in 23. We beat them at their place by, I think, 16 or 17. And then they came over to our place, and they were up by 23 at half. They scored to start the second half, went up by 25. And that's the night that we came back, and we beat them by two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I'd forgotten that one. I guess I didn't look back on that season. Yeah. But yeah, you've had so many great games. And then when you first came to Centennial, your first couple of teams were probably as talented as any that you had. Those squads were led by guys like Byron Harp and Jay Schoen, you know, but they just ran into some tough draws in the sub-state. And of course, in your second season, Jay broke his ankle during a game at Ottumwa late in the regular season. And I'm sure you feel like, you know, that injury probably cost you guys a trip to state.
And what a lot of people don't know about that year, we had three major injuries. So our best junior, Connor Cullen, it was on the first week of practice, and that Saturday, blew his knee out in practice, so he was done for the year. And he probably would have been our fifth starter. So he's out. And then our eighth man, Nate Metter, we're practicing one weekend after about six games, and we're in our small gym. And I'll never forget, Coach Lamont comes over to me. He goes, "I think he just tore his ACL. I heard it go," and he did. And then we're down there at Ottumwa, and a kid flagrantly takes out Jay, and he breaks his lower leg in four places. And, you know, we're a depleted squad. And we went, I think we go 19-3 or 19-4.
That sounds right.
Something like that. And we had beaten Hoover earlier in the year pretty handily, and they beat us in the sub-state final. You know, that was a tough pill to swallow, because I thought we were one of the top four teams in the state that year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So,
well, I didn't ask you about your other two coaching stops, and I'll let you touch on that if you want to. Of course, you started your career at CWL Corwith and then went to Carlisle. I'm sure you have some great memories from those places as well.
Yeah. Well, you know, CWL Corwith, you know, which is no longer in existence. They closed their doors back in 2017. They go to Algona now, those kids do, but, yeah, you know, coming out of college and that, and I'll never forget my second interview. The superintendent who won a state girls state title back in the early 60s. And when he interviewed me, he goes, "Hey, does Dick Rasmussen ring a bell?" And I go, "Absolutely." I said, "Why?" He goes, "Dick Rasmussen was my assistant in South Hamilton." And so anyway, so we had that little conversation. But then I said, "Mr. Sorensen, I know you said the program's been down, but I said, I can't find any records anywhere." And he goes, "Well," he goes, "we haven't won a game the last 2 years." And I was like, "Oh," I go, "what about 3 years ago?" He goes, "We won one game." I go, "What about 4 years ago?" He goes, "We won three." He goes, "We won 74 and four." I was like, "Whoa." I said, "Well, I guess there's only one direction to go from the coach." And so I was there 2 years. We went 10-9, then 13-6.
They probably hung up a banner for you for doing that.
Well, you know, what's crazy about it was that first year, we got beat by 9 by Brett West Hancock over there. And I come in the locker room, the guys are all giddy and everything. And I was like, "Hold on, what?" And they go, "Coach, that team beat us by 40 last year." So anyway, we win our next game at a school called Boone Valley Renwick. We come back, it's about 15, 20 miles away. We come back in town on the bus, and they had the fire truck out at the intersection leading us to the school.
Wow.
I was like, we didn't win the state championship. We just won the game. So, but I'll tell you what, I was so thankful for those 2 years because the memories that I have of being in a small rural school and how hard those kids worked and how excited they were to see the look on their faces when we won. And then I got to learn a lot about, you know, rural life and all that. And what's really cool is Friday night after the deal down at the arena, they're having a reception over here at Briarwood. And there's three players from that Corwith team that are coming back. And my wife, daughter, and all them got to set it up. And so I'm thinking back and I'm like, those guys are 58, 57 years old. Holy buckets. Anyway. And then, so I have a lot of great memories.
Well, I'm sure coaching a place like that too, I imagine a place like that doesn't have the resources that a place like Kennedy or Ankeny has. So you probably, when you got to those schools, you probably really appreciated all the things that you did have.
Oh, absolutely. I'll never forget when Mr. Sorensen told me, he goes, "Hey, now you got to get your chauffeur's license." And I said, "For what?" He goes, "Well, in case you ever have to drive the bus." And so they didn't like to have us have late practice. So they set up a deal one of the 2 years I was there. It was Laverne was one of the towns. Well, their school had shut down, but the gym was still there. That was a junior high as it was. And so every other week, they set the kids' schedule up in mind so there's no class for us last period. So we left Corwith early during last period. The team loaded up on the bus. We drove down to Laverne and practiced. The kids from Laverne area, they had left their cars there early in the morning and rode the bus to Corwith. So they stayed there. I went up the highway to Wesley and dropped those kids off. And then the kids from Corwith rode back to Corwith with me, dropped them off to high school, and I put the bus in the barn. And Mr. Sorensen said, "Hey, every other week," he goes, "we pay you an extra $12 a week when you have to go down to Laverne for practice."
Oh, wow.
I said, "Oh, wow. All right, let's go." So anyway, but it was, I mean, you know, those were when you're 23, 24 years old, you know, that's, you learn an awful lot. And then one of the 2 years I didn't have an assistant, I was by myself. And so that was interesting because I had 22, 23 kids out, grades 9 through 12. And those, because there was only 120 kids in high school.
Did you even have like managers?
We had a kid. He was our football manager and basketball manager. Yeah. And I just remember that we would practice. I'm like, okay, and you don't have the biggest gym either. So you really had to think, how am I going to manage this, you know, with all these kids and you're by yourself? So, but it worked out. It worked out. Going back to what you said, it made me greatly appreciate when I was at Carlisle later, but then more and more appreciative when I went to Kennedy and Centennial.
All right. So then you went to Carlisle. You were there, what, 4 years?
Yeah. Yep.
And what sticks out about your time there?
Oh, just, you know, they hadn't had a winning season, I don't know, like in 7 years or whatever. And that first year was rough. I think we won 5 games. And just had to change the culture. But the kids, here's the thing, they bought in. And we were, the first 2 years, we were the smallest 3A. And then the next 2 years, we're the biggest 2A. And I know that the thing that sticks out was I had a really good guard by the name of Clint Abel, who was, he could have played for a lot of CML teams. But, you know, Johnston was in our league, and they were really, really good. Norwalk had some good teams. Nevada, we're in a little hockey then. They're not in a little hockey now. Carlisle's the record. But and then we had the opportunity to go to the old South Central Conference. And I met with the superintendent principal. I said, hey, I'll guarantee you a conference title if you go to the South Central. And he said, we can't do that because he goes, the crowds won't be that good. And he goes, we got to think about the money aspect. So anyway, so then it was the third year. Johnson, they had come off to back-to-back state championship teams when they had Danner and Sunday, mm-hmm. those dudes.
Sure.
Well, that next year, they were ranked fourth in the state and they had that 56-game winning streak. And I studied that film and films on them and all that stuff, and they ran a lot of zone. And so anyway, it was that day it came out that they were going to be joining the CIML. That morning it came out. We were playing them on a Tuesday night at our place. And it's probably like, I don't know, maybe like late January, third week, something like that. Anyway, we beat them that night and broke their 56-game winning streak.
Nice.
And there was a big article on the front page of Des Moines Register. I get a call in my classroom before school starts that next morning. I answered the phone. It was my dad. And he goes, congratulations. He goes, every squirrel finds an acorn once in a while. So, and then it was a couple weeks later, Pella Christian's only two losses were to Johnson, if I remember right. And they were ranked like eighth or ninth in 2A. And we went down there and we beat them in overtime. And we were like 13-6 at the end of the regular season, 13-7, something like that. And then Nance Polk was in our sub-state, and that was your North Polk won a state title. So, and then the next year, Bon Durant was in their sub-state, and they won the state title. So, but that those 2 years, that group of kids, I brought five of them up as sophomores, and we took some lumps. I think we went 8-13 or something like that. But then, you know, two of my assistants from Carlisle and three or four of those players are coming in Friday night too. So look forward to seeing those guys too.
Well, how did you end up at Kennedy then? Because you grew up in Ankeny, so you really didn't have many ties to Eastern Iowa at that point. How did you end up over there?
Well, here's the answer to your question. I always wanted to coach at the highest level possible. And I had some coaches that coached smaller schools and said, hey, you can win a hell of a lot more games at smaller schools. Well, maybe you can, but I was never afraid of the challenge. Mm-hmm. And I always wanted to be at a bigger school just to see what it was like. And I actually interviewed at Ames, Marshalltown, and Linmar 1 and 2 years before I got the Kennedy job. I was actually offered the Linmar job 2 years before I went to Kennedy, and I turned it down. And then Ames and Marshalltown, I got down to the final three, but didn't get the jobs. So Kennedy, when I went there with the interview, it just, I after the interview, I was like, this is a great fit. I think I love this place. And then they offered me the job, so I took it. And I always said I would never leave Kennedy unless it was to come to one place, then become home. And I was offered four or five other opportunities to leave Kennedy, three high school jobs and two small college jobs. And I said, no, respectfully, no. But, you know, that was a difficult decision too. But I knew that I had the opportunity to come back home. And so, and what, like I said before, it wasn't just basketball related.
Sure. Well, you'll be going into the Hall of Fame that already includes your former high school coach at Ankeny, Larry Ireland, as well as your uncle, Ray Fontana, who was a legendary player at Ankeny in the 1950s. And I know you told me that makes this whole thing even more special for you, having that connection.
Yeah. Sure.
That's all right. We can talk about Larry first.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you adopted, you know, some of your coaching philosophies from Coach Ireland, who was certainly a hard-nosed coach, and he wasn't an easy guy to play for. I can attest to that because I played for him too. I'm sure you have, you know, some fond memories of that, and maybe even some not so fond memories.
But. That's funny because I told you the business that I was at before I came here. The guy said he remembers coming in to watch practice or do whatever. He was a guy that provided all the dress clothes. And he said, man, that guy was hard on you guys. And yeah. And I said, guess what? I'm still alive to talk about it. And I remember I was a 2-year starter, but I remember when I was a senior, some of the juniors go, how can you take what he says to you in practice? And I said, well, I learned to let it go in one ear, process it for a few seconds, let it go out the other ear. But he, you know, then when I did my student coaching, I was playing at Grandview. And I couldn't be at everything, but they still give me credit. Anyway, I saw a different side of him, you know. And then when I was at Carlisle, I remember asking if I could come up and watch practice. It was the first year I was head coach at Carlisle. And it was over Christmas break, and they were practicing later. So I got done with my practice. I beat it up here. And he asked if I wanted to go to Benchwarmers with him and some of the coaches for late lunch. And I said, oh, yeah, sure. And so we sit down, and he goes, Bobby, you always got to make him feel good when they leave practice every day. And I looked at him, I go, really? I said, I don't remember feeling good when I practice every day.
I don't either.
So, yeah, but here's the other thing, too. When I went to apply for jobs coming out of college, you know, he would make phone calls, or he wrote a reference letter for me and that. So, very thankful for that. And, you know, and a lot of times, whether you're a player or even when you're a coach, you don't understand when you're going, not as a coach, I'm sorry, as a kid, you don't understand sometimes that maybe the tough love aspect. I think the reason I could handle him is because of how my dad was. Now, the guys that maybe didn't have that kind of stuff at home, they were the ones that maybe had trouble with it, or they quit. My junior year, we only had 11 guys on the team, and my senior year, we had 13. So,
yeah, it was definitely an adjustment for me because I didn't grow up in that kind of with a dad like that. So, yeah, one of my favorite memories of Coach Ireland. Of course, he was a big Bobby Knight fan. Oh. There's that famous video of Bobby Knight hurling the chair across the floor, and he did that one time in practice. I mean, it was almost a carbon copy of what Bobby Knight did.
When I was a junior, he made us, if we had bad games or anything, before practice started, I remember one time we were watching black and white, reel-to-reel Bobby Knight rebounding and defensive films, and we thought we were going to leave the classroom and go out to practice. And this is with the old Parkview, because that year we played a couple games at Parkview before we moved into Northview. We walked out of this room, and out in the hallway, there was these tires, the tire drills, and we were doing tire drills before practice. And then we practiced, and we hardly touched a basketball unless we got a rebound or whatever. And I'm not kidding, 90% of the practice was defense and rebounding. And yeah, and I, to this day, I don't care, football, basketball, the 2 years I played at Grandview, this day, that practice was the toughest practice I've ever been to.
Did you guys have that one board with the rope on at the end?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yes.
That was brutal.
Yeah. Touch and go. It's called touch and go. Yeah. Yeah. And then with the four tires that were roped together, and then the two tires were crazy legs, and then one tire they called in and out. And yeah. And then, yeah. So, but, and then... You know, talking about Ankeny, so Coach Agard, Coach Kissinger, and Coach Hankey, they're going to be there Friday night too. So it's pretty neat that I'm able to see all these people that have had an impact on me over the years, whether they've been a player in the program or whether they've been one of my coaches or guys that coached with me.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be a great time, a great crowd. And just wanted to touch briefly on your uncle as well. Of course, he played back in the 50s. That was before my time. I've seen some old clips of him, just some real grainy black and white clips. I know he was a great player. I know you've studied his career a little bit. I mean, just the numbers he put up was just incredible. But what have you learned about him over the years just from what you've researched?
You know, I've told people this too. It's like, I remember when I was growing up as a kid in Ankeny, and I put pressure on myself. But all the old timers, they would always go, are you going to be as good as your dad and uncles? Because I had two older cousins, they didn't play basketball. Mm-hmm. And I was like, geez, Louise. I mean, you know, they go to three straight state tournaments. They go 88-4, and there's only one class in. And two of the 3 years, they got beat by Davenport in the semis and then the finals. And, you know, so, but Ray, he was first team All-State as a junior and first team as a senior. He was all tournament both years. And his senior year, the all tournament team was four Davenport guys. We're all D1, all with D1. And then Ray was the captain. He broke five state tournament records that year. I'm not going to remember all five of them. I know one of them was he had 36 points in a game. And then I think he had the most points in a tournament at that time, and then maybe the most field goals in a tournament. Anyway, and a real sad deal. So he was the first Iowa boy to play in a high school All-American game. He played down in Murray, Kentucky in the North-South All-American game for the top 20 seniors in the country. And he had multiple schools in the Midwest, D1 schools, you know, want him. He went to Iowa, and back then freshmen couldn't play varsity sports. And then they were going through their fall stuff, and they said, something's wrong physically. Put him in the hospital, ran tests, and he had tuberculosis. He was in the hospital for 14 months. He never played again, which was sad.
Oh, yeah.
And when I got the job at Kennedy, a guy by the name of Jim Herman, who was on Arnie's editor staff at Kennedy, and Jim stayed on the Kennedy staff with me for the first 2 years. He was from Slater, and he played against my dad, and then Ray didn't play against my dad's older brother. And he said, I swear to God, that guy had eyes in the back of his head, the way he could pass for a big guy. And he goes, I think if he would have never got sick, he goes, I think he would have played in the NBA. So, but yeah, then I talked to Chris Cuellar the other day when he called me about the Hall of Fame thing. I found in one of my dad's scrapbooks, there's an article about Ray's career points. And I got to give that to Chris because they got him at like 1,900 and some points. Well, this article, it's got him as 2,230 some points after the state 1950 state tournament.
Oh, wow.
So.
And didn't he have like 800 and some just in one season alone, I think?
Yeah, that senior, I think it was 827 or something like that. And his junior, I think he had, I don't know, it was a lot.
That was a lot.
Yeah. So. Anyway,
well, I learned a lot about him and your dad and your other uncle when I was researching some of those all-time teams, because they were just all over the place in all the sports. So.
Well, yeah, you know, it's crazy. So I should show you sometime. My dad left me a couple nice professional scrapbooks, but the three state tournament programs. And you look at the Ankeny High School enrollment, and one year it's 99 kids, one year it's like 112, another year it's like maybe 112 or 120. And you look at Davenport had one high school, and it was like 1,990 kids in three grades. It was almost like a Hoosiers thing.
Oh, yeah.
So, and when Davenport beat him in the state championship in 1950, that was the closest game. And it was like, I think it was a 30-point game or something like that. And Ankeny was 31-0 going into the game, or 30-0, whatever they were.
For some reason, the score like 67-28.
Yeah, that, maybe that was it. Yeah,
head. Yeah,
but yeah. And so I'm like, holy crap. And then so I looked at the scores in the Davenport had in the state tournament. One of them was like 78-15, and another one was like 71-20. I mean, well, they had. Let's see, they had Ken Buckles went to Iowa with Ray, and then they had Carl Woodsith, who went to Tennessee, and then Lemieux went to, it was either Illinois or Northwestern, and I don't remember the fourth guy's name. He went to either Illinois or Northwestern. So they have four guys back then.
Wow.
That were D1. Yeah. So.
Crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, I've got a lot of great memories from this sport. And... you know, I've had a lot of former players and coaches, and whether they coached with me, for me, or actual guys that coach me. And I said, this award is not an individual award. You know, I look at all the assistant coaches over the years that have bought into what we wanted to do in our program. And I look at all the players, and not all the players. I want to make sure that it's, you know, there's some that don't buy in, but the ones that have bought in. And when I say that, I told Nate Lingard, I said, I'm not talking about necessarily all the best players. I said, I'm talking about the kids that, you know, maybe got a dress out for varsity, but they were great scout team players. One of them that I want to talk about real quick is Luke Donato, head sophomore coach at Centennial now. When Luke was a senior, okay, he, you know, was at Ankeny all those years, and he was thus a senior year, and he got stuck behind some good players. He scored a total of 3 points, but he was a basketball junkie. He loved the game. He wanted to learn how to become a coach, and he has. And he bought into everything that we tried to do and continues to do that now for Coach Delger. You know, those are the kind of guys I remember too. And so, when Winkle's group was seniors, there was 12 seniors out here. I met with those kids and I said, you're not all 12 of you are going to play. You know that. Historically, I'm an eight-man, you know, team, eight rotation. And I'll never forget when three of those seniors came to me after the first week of practice and said, Coach, we know we're not going to be in the rotation. We played JV on Monday night. And then one of them said, Coach, Monday night's JV games will be our Super Bowls. And I said, I think we're going to be all right.
Yeah.
When you get kids like that with no drama, no parent drama, no player drama. And those were two, you know, memorable years. And there were many others, too. But those are two good examples of kids that bought in.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, because not every team is like that. I know.
No.
But, well, you got to feel good about what that team was able to do this year under Coach Delger. They certainly made some progress.
Yeah, and I know that I knew that there would be growing pains. I knew last year was going to be rough. I knew this year could be. But I thought Matt and his staff did a phenomenal job of bringing those kids on and getting better as time went on. And I think he's got a good group of kids right now. And I think that they'll do nothing but get better. And credit to them, even when they were losing games, they were competing, you know. And I think, you know, I could be wrong. You know, the landscape can change at any moment in today's age. But the league's not going to be as big size-wise next year as it's been the last few years. And I think that, you know, hopefully they're healthy and they stick together. And I think that you'll see them continue to improve.
Well, before I let you go, Bob, we'll just end on this note. I know when you stepped away last year, you said you were just taking a step back. You didn't necessarily rule out ever coming back. But now you're going into the Hall of Fame. I know you seem to be enjoying retirement. Have you had an itch at all to get back into it, or do you think you're good now?
Well, the IBCA got me involved in that mentor-mentee program, so they hooked me up to Prairie City Monroe coach. And so I met with him and his staff 3 times before the season. I went to, I think, 6 or 7 practices in like 4 games. And he hooked me up with his huddle account, so I watch those games and give him feedback in that. But then also, Carlisle coach got a hold of me, and I went down to 2 of his games in practice. And I went to Mount Vernon, who Derek was with me at Kennedy for a few years and came with me to Centennial, Derek Roberts. So I went over to Mount Vernon to practice, and actually he had me sit on the bench one game at the end of the bench when they played down the Casey Center and just give him feedback in that. So I said I was getting my fix, but I wasn't losing sleep over wins and losses.
That sounds like a good way to do it.
So yeah, to answer your question, I would say I would lean towards that maybe I'm done. But I said if I did ever get back into it, I would look at doing it at a small school for the love of the game and not deal with some of the stuff that you deal with in the big school level, some of the filthy stuff that's going on that needs to be brought under control.
Well, you'd be going full circle then, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would be going full circle.
Well, hey, Bob, it's been fun to reminisce with you. I certainly appreciate everything you did for me when you were coaching all those years. It was fun to cover all your teams and get to know you really well. So appreciate all your time and congratulations on the Hall of Fame honor. It's certainly well-deserved, and I'll probably see you Friday night.
It sounds great. And you know what? I wanted to say this to everybody, whoever listens or listens to us later on. What you do is phenomenal. What you do for this community in athletics at both schools and try to cover as much as you do with a limited staff. I know you don't have a big staff, and I just think it's great because, you know, I don't remember when the Press Citizen or the Des Moines or Ankeny Register went out of whatever, but I know that that was a big deal. And for you to continue to do what you're doing, I think is hats off to you. I think it's awesome.
Well, thank you. And I'm very lucky. I have no complaints. I've had a good run myself, and I'll probably be following you into retirement here in a few years. So. Well, hey, thanks a lot, Bob.
All right, take care.
You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I want to thank my guest again, Bob Fontana, for coming in tonight. Really enjoyed reminiscing with him and going down memory lane. That's a well-deserved honor that he's getting on Friday night when he'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.